Local authorities do not have to collaborate with federal immigration enforcement if they don't want to. Athens Clark County recently joined the list of at least 8 Georgia communities that now refuse to honor ICE detainers. That's when Immigration and Customs Enforcement asks local jails to hold people that they've booked until ICE agents can come and get them. It's a different story elsewhere in Georgia. Many cities and counties eagerly cooperate with ICE. Here's a story from one such place. On a recent morning, a woman got up in her predominantly Latino neighborhood outside of Warner Robins and drove to work. Then, she says, she noticed a Houston County Sheriff's deputy parked nearby. He was waiting, she says. That is her voice, though we've altered it to hide her identity at her request. She says that she was only going a mile or two over the speed limit, but the deputy tailed her anyway.
He continued following me as if he were checking me until we reached the stop. There, he turned on the siren. At that moment, I thought, this is it.
Possibly the beginning of the end of 15 years living in the United States. The deputy asked for her license, and like many people living in the country illegally, she did not have one. When she got to the Houston County Jail, the staff there did what they've been doing routinely since 2009, scanned her fingerprints and sent them to ICE. Word came back from the feds, hold her until we can come get her, which they did. Then she spent more than 3 weeks in ICE's Irwin County Detention Center in South Georgia. She's out now on $10,000 bail, awaiting her day in immigration court. The woman says none of this would surprise anyone like her who has dealt with law enforcement in Houston County.
The majority just see you're Latino and they stop you.
I emphatically deny it.
Denying it is Houston County Chief Deputy Billy Rape. He says that his department does not target people like this woman. He says they're just enforcing basic public safety laws, and it's only by chance that they pull over people who have immigration issues. Indeed, the deputy who arrested this woman said in his report that she was driving far faster than she now claims.
Are all illegals murderers, rapists, drug users, drug dealers? No. So that's why we don't make the decision to turn them over to ICE or not. We let ICE tell us, do you need this person?
And ICE typically says yes. But curiously, ICE hasn't wanted to pick up nearly as many people arrested in neighboring Macon-Bibb County, a community with a similar population. County and city law enforcement in Houston arrest people with alleged immigration violations at a rate 4 times that of Macon-Bibb County. Bibb Sheriff David Davis says going too far to help ICE enforce immigration law would make his job harder to do by damaging trust with local immigrant communities.
If they're worried about getting arrested and sent away simply because they've overstayed a visa, they're not going to tell you about the drug seller that's living 2 doors down from them. I want that drug seller.
Now, the Trump administration may not share Davis's philosophy. It has reordered ICE's priorities, and now more people who've committed minor, nonviolent crimes are facing possible deportation. Crimes like driving without a license. Now, I reported that story with my journalism students at Mercer University, including Vanessa Alva, whom you heard there, doing the translations. For a deeper version of that story, go to gpbnews.org. But for now, let me welcome Vanessa to talk a little bit more about what we found out and how people in our part of the state have been reacting to our reporting. Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, Adam.
So, Vanessa, we had to do a lot of work in order to gather the raw information that we needed in order to report the conclusions that we just laid out. Tell people about what we had to do to get all these records.
So at the beginning of the class, we were working on several investigative reporting projects, and Adam suggested what we wanted to work on, and the class voted on one of those stories to be immigration in Houston County. So what we did is we compiled a list of police reports that we requested from Houston County Police Department, and we created spreadsheets looking at those police reports on people who had been detained for ICE, and we looked at what kind of infractions they had been held for. Some of those were violent, such as domestic violence, but about half of them were for traffic violations, such as not turning on a turn signal or following too closely, not stopping at a stop sign, or just minor traffic infractions like that. Then we went and followed up on some of those police reports to find people we could talk to.
I gave you a really hard assignment, which was just to like look at these police reports and go to the addresses of these people who were arrested in part for immigration violations in Houston County and see if you can get any of them to talk, people who would quite naturally be very reticent to talk. Tell people about that experience.
So we called some of the numbers that were on the police reports, and a lot of those numbers were obviously disconnected because those people had either been still in the ICE detention or they had been deported. But we did get one number that it continued ringing, so we assumed that either a family member still had access to that phone. So we went to that address, which is the address of the woman that we interviewed. Nobody was there when we got there, but we spoke to a neighbor, and she actually told us that she had been released. So we waited there for a little bit, but then she told us that they weren't going to be there until really late in the evening. So we left, and we continued pursuing other addresses, but nobody would talk to us. They either said they didn't know who we were talking about, or they just didn't feel comfortable speaking with us, which is completely normal. And then we went back to the address just to see if maybe we got lucky, and we did. The woman was actually getting off work at that time, and she was coming into her home. So we approached her, and she welcomed us into her home, and we were able to interview her that way.
I'm speaking with Vanessa Alva. She was a student in my investigative reporting class at Mercer University in this spring semester that just ended. And she and I and her classmates worked on an investigative report looking at immigration enforcement practices in Houston County, which is where Warner Robins is, just south of Macon. And based on the numbers that we were able to assemble, it sure looks like the Houston County law enforcement community is doing some kind of targeting of immigrant communities there, though they vehemently deny it. But they're just arresting people with immigration violations at a rate far higher than comparable communities. And that's what we reported. Vanessa, you yourself are a Mexican immigrant. Tell people about your background.
So I was born in Mexico. I came to the United States when I was 3 years old. My father was able to become a legalized permanent resident through the Ronald Reagan amnesty. So we were privileged enough to be able to become legal through that way. It's not really easy for people to become legalized. You either have to have a family member do it through a working company or something, and through some excruciating circumstances. So I recognize that my ability to become a permanent resident was not the norm, because not everybody has access to do it that way.
And surely your background and your language skills in Spanish, this must have helped you a lot as you were going down to Houston County trying to get people like that woman we heard from to talk to you.
Yes. So the neighbor that we spoke to, for example, she spoke Spanish. And the people that we interviewed, everybody that we encountered seeking out these interviews, everybody spoke Spanish. So it definitely made it a lot easier to be able to communicate with people. And I think it made them feel also a little more comfortable speaking to someone that looked like them, because I'm not sure if that would have been the case if it had been somebody else.
Yeah. Let's talk about the reaction that we've seen to this reporting that we put out into the world starting on Sunday in the Macon Telegraph. A lot of comments from people reacting to the headline. I think the headline in the Telegraph was something along the lines of Houston County, number one in immigration enforcement in Middle Georgia. And lots of people commented on that piece saying, good, way to go, Houston County. One person commented, why would these people be in the country illegally anyway? They have to get in line just like at Ellis Island, is what one person said. It doesn't work like that now, right? I mean, citizenship is a much more difficult and complex thing to try to get.
It definitely is, and I don't think a lot of people are necessarily aware of the cost, the time it takes. There's like a lot of that goes into how you become legal in this country, and I don't think a lot of people are necessarily aware of that.
Based upon your assessment, how common is the kind of coverage that we did about immigration detentions in Middle Georgia?
I don't think that it's that common compared to cities like Atlanta, where immigration does play a bigger focus. I think that oftentimes Middle Georgia, specifically the news that I've seen, doesn't really cover immigration as much as Atlanta does. So I think that that might have allowed for the conditions to continue as much as they have. I mean, a lot of the people that we spoke to said that this has been going on since the Bush era. So I think that because there might be a lack of reporting, there might be a lack of response to what has been going on in Houston County.
What else do you want to look at with your reporting, Vanessa, in terms of immigration in Georgia?
Based on a lot of the comments, a lot of people were concerned that there are people driving without licenses. So potentially next year, as a part of more reporting on immigration, I'd like to look into whether Georgia legislators would be open to giving licenses to people that are undocumented. There are other states that practice this, such as California and Colorado, and maybe that would make the jobs of a lot of these police officers easier, and a lot of the people that feel uncomfortable with people driving without licenses might be put at rest.
That was Mercer University student journalist Vanessa Alva. The article that she reported with me and the class that I taught this past spring semester, which is about immigration detentions in Middle Georgia, was published Sunday in the Telegraph newspaper in Macon. You can also find it published in full on gpbnews.org. Vanessa, it was such a privilege working with you on this. You did such a great job, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.